and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Mitch Thomason. Dead on arrival, that's how House Speaker Mike Johnson describes prospects in the House for a $118 billion border bill put together by a small group of Senate Democrats and Republicans. Correspondent Jackie Quinn says the package ties some controversial border provisions to billions more in military aid for Israel and Ukraine.
A divided Congress is torn between tightening border security, funding Israel, Ukraine, and other allies, and blocking a bipartisan bill as requested by Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. The House Speaker, Mike Johnson, on NBC's Meet the Press, says they have their own bill.
We would resolve the broken asylum system and the broken parole system. We would reinstitute Remain in Mexico.
The Senate bill would authorize the funding that President Biden is seeking to provide wartime aid to Ukraine. A test vote could come this week.
House Republicans seizing on a remark by Democrat Senator Chris Murphy, who says that under this bill, the border never closes. From northern to southern California, the second atmospheric river is flooding roads, knocking out power, leading forecasters to warn of hurricane-force winds and mudslides. One home improvement retailer in Santa Barbara says people are anxious to protect their homes from the rising waters.
We run out of sandbags. People are trying to get anything they can get heavy, so to use it as a, you know, to protect the doors and everything.
There have been evacuations and states of emergency have been declared. The latest in a rash of carjackings in Washington, D.C. has claimed the life of Mike Gill, a former Trump and Obama administration official, shot a week ago while sitting in his car. Wall Street, the Dow down 221 points, and NASDAQ is off 43. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The new FedNow system is paving the way for the digital dollar. It grants the government unprecedented access to your financial transactions. This isn't just an invasion of privacy. It's a direct assault on your liberty and hard-earned money. It's another reason why I recommend physical gold IRAs from the Birch Gold Group. I'm Lance Wallnow. I'm a news analyst and a podcaster with nearly 25 million downloads to people just like you who cherish their financial independence. A precious metals IRA can help you avoid the scrutiny of Big Brother while also preserving your retirement savings through almost anything, including economic crashes, political instability, and even hyperinflation. To find out more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and see how a gold IRA can help you. Text FAITH to 989898. And remember, there's no strings attached. Text FAITH to the number 989898 right now, and I pray you're blessed with continued prosperity.
This KNTQ News Flash, powered by Palm Mortuaries and Cemeteries. Stay active, be healthy, they'd rather wait. The deals are done, almost. Culinary Local 226 says it has struck deals with nearly all remaining hotel casinos, averting today's threatened walkout. The last tentative agreement was reached yesterday morning between the Union and Downtown Grand. All but one strip and near strip properties now have deals. The Union has given Virgin Las Vegas more time to negotiate. Deals reached on Friday and Saturday included the Rio, Main Street Station, Fremont, Binion's, as well as the Golden Nugget. Union members agreed to deals with the big three strip employers. That's MGM, Caesars, and Wynn. That happened back in November. Another good year for Nevada's gaming win. The statewide win for a 2023, $15.5 billion, a 4.6% increase over 2022, which is up more than 10% compared to 2021. Now, the average growth rate for the Silver State's gaming win over the last decade, 5.9%. Slot play, table games, sports betting all had record years. It was also a record year for Harry Reid International Airport, where 57.7 million passengers made their way through, bettering 2022's record year by 8.7%. Airport officials say the ever-increasing passenger count now means work needs to get started on a second airport for Southern Nevada. And keep your umbrella and jacket handy. To start a Super Bowl week here in Las Vegas, it's going to be wet and chilly, but the forecast for the week, it gets brighter and sunnier tomorrow. Forecast to be the wettest day of the week with a chance of rain at 90% during the day. By the weekend, sunny and warmer just in time for Super Bowl 58 at Allegiant Stadium. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
I'm attorney Paul Powell. If you've been in an accident, did you know that your lawyer can take 33% from your settlement, regardless of how little of money you get?
That's right.
You get hurt, and the lawyer takes most of the money. It's not very fair, is it? When you hire me as your lawyer, those worries go away. I promise to never take more money than you, and I put it in writing.
If you're tired of greedy lawyers, call 728-5500 or go to paulpowell.com.
I really can help.
Paul Powell. More lawyer, less fee.
KMZQ On Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, you can get an oil change for only $39.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
When it leaves a little early today, we do have wet roads throughout the valley, but as far as accidents go, really not too bad a shape. In the Northwest Valley, an accident on the Decatur on-ramp to get onto northbound 95. That's from Decatur. Left lane is blocked there to get onto northbound 95 from Decatur. South end of town in front of South Point Hotel and Casino, an accident on Las Vegas Boulevard at Silverado Ranch. Also one of the west side intersection of Decatur and Washington. Rain in the valley, not just today, but throughout most of the week. Cooler temperatures today, too. Highs in the this afternoon in the mid-50s. 48 right now. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to, anyway. America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him foot.
Check it out.
And Joan, Shingang, I'm going to pronounce her, Shanga.
Can I just say that of all the idiots, in all the idiot villages, in all the idiot worlds, you stand alone.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Hour number two, live and local for a Monday. It's the beginning of Super Bowl week, Super Bowl 58, on this Monday, February 5th. Good to have you with us. And joining us as he does every week on Monday, Victor Jakes, my friend and the columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He joins us. Good morning, Victor. You ready for Super Bowl week?
It's here. We're ready for the Super Bowl. We're ready for Taylor Swift to come into town. It's going to be a big week.
I've got to ask you. I saw your post on X about Taylor Swift. Can you explain as far as feminism and the arrival of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce?
Oh, absolutely. It's the left kind of likes to put out there that, and then modern culture too, in a lot of ways, that masculinity is toxic, that, you know, men and women are competing against each other. You know, they take this critical race theory binary of, you know, there's the oppressors and the oppressed, and men are the oppressors and women are the oppressed. And, you know, there's still the patriarchy there imposing on people. And, you know, women find success in career and status. And if there's anyone who has found success and fame and fortune, it's Taylor Swift. Now, I have to admit that I actually haven't listened to any Taylor Swift songs, but she's so big that even I know who she is. And if feminism, you know, this modern version of feminism worked for anyone, it should be working for her. And yet, you know, she doesn't hate men. She's obviously dating one and in a very high profile way. And, you know, obviously it's hard to see past all the fame because, you know, they're beautiful people, they're famous people, but, you know, really this is, you know, a pretty lady and a masculine guy, and they're dating each other and they're showing up to each other's events because they care about each other and they support each other. And there's not this false war between the sexes. You know, there's a recognition that, you know, hey, as a couple, you know, we can experience things and create things and have things that aren't available to us as an individual. And so I really think it's kind of just a perfect case study of the folly of this, you know, this modern idea that, you know, that women should be kind of like hating men and opposed to traditional masculinity.
Did you ever think that the day would come when you'd be writing about Taylor Swift?
No. I can't say that thought crossed my mind very often. But, you know, sometimes duty calls and you just, you know, it's just it's there. It's right in front of you. And I hope, you know, and I don't think people think about this as deeply as I do, but, you know, I hope there is some recognition among her legion of fans that, oh, hey, you know, maybe the traditional guy, that's okay to date them. And maybe guys look at this and go, you know, oh, maybe I'm not supposed to be effeminate. I'm not supposed to be an ally. I should just go out and be a man. You know, I should go out and achieve and work hard and be strong. And that's actually attractive to women, because it is. I mean, just the mixed up signals our society sends is it hurts a lot of people ultimately. And hopefully people will look and say, oh, actually, look at what that person's doing. Maybe I'm going to do the same thing.
The big news of last week, obviously, Jesus Jara stepping down as the superintendent of the Clark County School District, fifth largest school district in the country. You have written extensively about his reign as head of the superintendent of schools. Let me just ask you, you asked the not so rhetorical question, why did Jesus Jara fail as superintendent? Give us the short strokes.
Well, it's funny because you can kind of look at this question in two ways, but I want to step back and look at the bigger picture first. 6 years ago, before Superintendent Jara was hired, before he was even a finalist for the position, I wrote that CCSD's next superintendent is going to fail, and the problem is, and the problem for Pat Skorkowski, who was the previous superintendent, the problem for Dwight Jones, who was two superintendents ago, is that they have the kind of the mantle of responsibility because everyone looks at them. They're making the money. They're the superintendent. But they don't have much of the authority that you would have in a traditional CEO role. And the biggest thing is the union, the teachers union, has a de facto veto over much of the district policy and spending. And we actually saw that just play out over the last few months with the district and with the teachers union, where the district said, hey, we got all this money. Here's how we want to spend it. And the teachers union said, basically, no, you need to pay the same people who are doing this stuff right now more for doing the exact same thing. And even ideas like, oh, we want to pay people more to teach in less desirable schools. We want to rework the salary schedule to make it more attractive, you know, more on par with every other district around the country. The union basically, you know, stomped their foot down and just crushed those things. And so, you know, I think his failure was inevitable. And I actually sort of view him in this way as a tragic figure, because, you know, you come in, you've got all this energy, you've got all these ideas, and you find out, and I think he found out, you know, he just didn't have the power to enact those things. And I wrote 6 years ago before he came in that, you know, the title will say superintendent, but what they're really hiring is another fall guy. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, you see the union turn on Jara as soon as he opposed their, you know, basically their limitless spending desires. That's where the conflict came in. And all of a sudden the union's calling for his resignation. And so, you know, if you just go along to get along with the union and you don't want to change anything for the better, and you're content to just let, you know, hundreds of thousands of kids fail under your watch, the union will support you, and you can stay in office at least until the money runs out. That's what happened to Pat Skorkowski. But if you get in and you realize, oh, the union is my enemy, enemy for this policy purposes, and try and fix it and try and oppose them, they're going to bring the hammer down on you. And that's what happened. And, you know, the only good news is that the district is still on track to decertify the union. Hopefully that effort continues, because that will give the next superintendent something I think Jara never had, which was a chance to actually succeed.
Well, let me ask you this. Why did he resign now? I'm just curious. Any indication, is he up for another job in another a part of the country, maybe back in Florida? Why the February 21st resignation?
That is a really interesting question, and I think, you know, you know, I think there's two things, and I don't know, so I'll just say that clearly. But you know, there is this records request that from Jarrah's Twitter account or X account, he said some disparaging things, made a disparaging comment about the teachers union president, and the union is receiving documents by today that are going to show. I don't know what they're going to show because the comment was made from his Twitter account, so everyone can see it out there. But you know, maybe that timing is certainly there. His mother passed away recently. You know, he didn't give his state of his school speech that he was scheduled to give because of her passing. And so, yeah, you have to remember that you know, all of these people are human too. You know, that we see them as, oh, they're the superintendent. But they're, you know, it's really Dr. Jarrah, the person, and he has the role of superintendent, and he also has, you know, a mom who dies and passes away, and you know, maybe it's just one of those things where you get a different perspective, and you know, you see the fight here, and you see, you know, I think he came to understand exactly what I described there, is that the superintendent, you know, everyone looks to him and blames him, but he doesn't have the power to fix things. And I think there's an understandable reason, you know, that someone would just feel frustrated by that and just be like, well, what's the point, you know? So I think those two things contributed, but obviously that's just speculation.
Victor Jenks joining us, the three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Should the district look outside or inside for the next superintendent?
Well, I actually think his deputy is... I mean, I think she's going to get the job. And, you know, I think the most important thing is to continue the decertification of the union, because I am telling you, having studied this district barely in depth for almost 15 years, if you do not fix the union issue, if you do not take the authority away from the union, the de facto veto they have over spending, or over policy, that, you know, the control, the de facto control they have over spending, nothing substantial is going to change. And so, you know, I would assume that his deputy, I think her name is Brenda Larson Mitchell, is on board with continuing that decertification. I think obviously the board wants it or it wouldn't be happening. And so I think that would be fine. I think she would do it. I don't know anything about her, but you know, that's just the key issue. You know, everyone wants to think about, oh, the policy change, and there's plenty of policies I would change, believe me. But until that change is the superintendent, whoever it is, literally whoever it is not going to succeed. I mean, you go back to Dwight Jones, he was the business community's choice. You go out to Pat Sorkowski, he was the union's choice. You go to Jesus Jarrah, he was the outsider, you know. And they all failed, for the same reason. And, you know, there is a chance now to decertify the union because the law prohibits them from disavowing their pledge not to strike. The union certainly did that, and that process is winding its way through the courts and the Labor Relations Board. And if that happens, you're actually going to see a chance for some changes in the district.
What would it look like? Tell me what decertification means legally, and then the application that we'll be dealing with in the course of the next few months.
So legally, it just means that CCEA is no longer representing teachers. They're not the bargaining agent. They aren't getting, you know, the $1,000-ish a year from teachers' paychecks right into their bank accounts. You know, so they're basically going to shrivel up and die. I mean, I assume they could reform or reconstitute and try and go around gathering signatures and getting people back in the union. But, you know, basically the district doesn't have to go through the union to set things like a contract or to do things like initiatives to pay teachers more to work at certain schools. So they don't have to go get their approval. They can just say, hey, this is the policy we want, and we're going to go do it. And, you know, the common response is, well, then the union, you know, the district's just going to pay teachers peanuts. It's like, no, they're not going to pay teachers peanuts. In the summer of 2021, they gave starting teachers a raise just on their own. Like, there's no requirement for it, but they did it because that's what they realized the market, or what they thought they realized the market was demanding. So that's what's going to happen there, is that, you know, the contract will still be the contract. Well, actually, I'm not sure what happened to the contract, but I you know, the district is still going to have to pay teachers on a competitive way, but there could be some changes in terms of how they are paid, in terms of, you know, years of experience versus the professional growth plan, and then doing things like incentivizing teachers to you know, to leave the schools in the suburbs to go teach at some of the harder schools.
Let me just ask you, so what happens? The union goes away, CCEA goes away. Are they replaced by the Teamsters or the Pipefitters Union or some other entity?
So another entity can come and try and get enough signatures to force an election. So that's what another union would have to do, and I assume actually would happen, is that another union would come in and try and get a bunch of, you know, half, I think it's 50% plus one of all the teachers employed, and get them to sign a card saying, you know, yes, we want a union. And then there should be an election where teachers would get to vote by secret ballot to say, you know, yes, we want a union, or no, we don't want a union.
Okay, in our final couple of minutes, this is important stuff. We've got a primary election coming up, a presidential primary. We've got the caucus on Thursday. Explain what this is going to mean to voters. I'm getting more and more questions on how do I find out my precinct? How do I make sure that I know where to go?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the primary is tomorrow. If you haven't voted by mail, you can still have it postmarked by tomorrow. You can go to different sites around the city, around the Las Vegas Valley, to vote in person tomorrow. But you have to remember that vote will go on your voting record, but it won't actually mean anything. So there will be a result. It will be announced, but in the presidential selection process, delegates are what matters, and state parties determine how those delegates are awarded. And so those delegates are going to be awarded at a caucus, which is held Thursday. And if you want information, I would encourage you to go to nevadagop.org. That's the state Republican Party website. And there you can find out where you have to go on Thursday. So it starts at 5. You have to go to a caucus location. As you just said, it's based on your precinct number. And so on that website, you will click somewhere and you'll go to the Secretary of State's website. That'll give you your precinct number. Come back to the Nevada GOP website, and then you can find – you'll click somewhere else. Not straightforward by any means. And that's where you can find your precinct. Now, the only candidates that are going to be on the ballot – are Ryan Binkley, who no one's ever heard of, and President Trump. And so, you know, President Trump is going to win the Nevada caucus, even if there's only 150 people who show up, because he's the only candidate on the ballot. Essentially the only candidate on the ballot.
It's going to be an interesting week, I can tell you that. Victor, always good to visit with you. Thank you so much, my friend. By the way, you have a favorite in the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday?
Oh, I really don't. For some reason, I feel affection for Andy Reid, which I shouldn't as a Cowboys fan. But I just, you know, he had such a tough go of it as the Eagles head coach, and I sort of stopped following football. He was still the Eagles head coach, so he's like the only person I actually like feel like I know or like have some sort of connection with. So I'm not sure I'll watch the game, but I'll find out what happens when we can touch base. And you're a Chiefs fan, so I got to cheer for the Chiefs.
There you go. There you go. One more fan, right there. Let me mark that down. Thank you very much. Victor, we'll talk again next Monday, and we'll rehash the rehash.
We'll celebrate the Chiefs' victory.
There you go. Thanks, man. Victor Jenks, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Good guy. And he's willing to come over to my side on the Chiefs. That's good. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Debunking both liberal and conservative rhetoric. Dan Bongino, weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Are you a small business owner? Would you like to turn your social media into an important profit center? Hey, Kevin Wall here, the owner of Battleborn Radio and a longtime client of the SKC Group. The pros at the SKC Group built our corporate website, then they updated that website to make it even more productive. The SKC Group designs and manages areas of digital marketing for a wide variety of businesses. Locally owned and operated, the SKC Group provides fully integrated solutions, whether you need a company brand, graphic design projects, or an engaging mobile-friendly website. What do I like most about the SKC Group? They showed me how an increased web presence can mean more profit for my small business. And who doesn't want more profit? Let the pros at the SKC Group help you and your business. Ask for a free analysis of your current marketing strategies. Call 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. Make that call right now.
The world has fallen apart with the disastrous decline of our government, our cities, and our lives brought on by Joe Biden and his radical Marxist handlers. Hi, I'm Dr. Jeff Gunter, 110% behind President Trump, former U.S. ambassador, a dedicated physician for over 28 years in Nevada, and now I'm taking on the radical liberal Jackie Rosen for the U.S. Senate. We've seen wars around the world, from Ukraine to Israel. America's next, and we need to stop it. We need to close our borders and institute the largest deportation program in U.S. history. We absolutely need to throw them out. We need to be energy independent and not reliant on those who hate America. Like I always say, drill, baby, drill. President Trump needs your help, and so do I. This is a political war on the home front, but we will win. Visit drjeffgunter.com to learn more, and let's take back our country, and let's take back the U.S. Senate. I'm Dr. Jeff Gunter, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message, paid for by Dr. Jeff Gunter for Senate.
You support transparency in government, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there are tax dollars, right?
So when local governments decide how much to, say, pay police officers, or when they set the salaries for teachers, you think those discussions should be open to the public, right?
Oh, yeah, actually, I'd like to be in that meeting to give my two cents.
Well, what if I told you that currently, when local governments meet with union leaders to have those discussions, it all happens behind closed doors?
What? What do you mean, behind closed doors?
In Nevada, public sector union negotiations are exempt from the state's open meeting laws. The entire process is closed to the public. Even as a public employee, you would not be allowed to see what they're negotiating.
Wow. How much we're going to pay teachers and police seems like a pretty big discussion to keep hidden from taxpayers.
Better government begins with more transparency, not less. Visit NevadaPolicy.org to find out more. This has been a public service announcement from the Nevada Policy Research Institute, a 501c3 nonprofit.
This is a St. Jude moment.
Ashton was a high-level athlete, and in an instant, your world flips. And your healthy 5-year-old competitive cheerleader has a brain tumor. And the physician was like, your best option is St. Jude. Receiving treatment that was life-saving for our child and knowing that that treatment would be of no cost to us was a huge weight lifted.
Learn more at stjude.org.
We still haven't beaten COVID-19. Its new strain has caused an alarming increase in hospitalizations. Give superpowers to your family with updated vaccines from Pfizer-BioNTech or Moderna that reduce the risk of serious illness and hospitalization. Remember, you can vaccinate your children as early as 6 months of age. Check with your healthcare provider or visit immunizenevada.org and get them vaccinated. With health, there is life.
This message is sponsored by Immunize Nevada, aired in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
It's Super Bowl week. Kevin Wall with you, live and local. Donald J. Trump was on with Maria Bartiromo yesterday on Sunday Morning Futures, and I found this fascinating. He's already talking about, with the media, with cabinet positions. He's been talking about vice presidential nominees. You heard that earlier in our 6 o'clock hour. But he also talked about cabinet positions. This was with Maria Bartiromo. This is cut number 2. Donald J. Trump on Fox yesterday.
Is it fair to believe that you would have a number of your former officials in your new cabinet?
I would put some back. I'll tell you, I came to Washington having
spent almost no time in my life in Washington.
I know. You said
and all
that.
Of a sudden, I'm president. And I wasn't into Washington society. So I was not a Washington. I was a New York person. I was a New York builder.
Well, you were an outsider, and that's why I was a totally outsider.
But the one problem with that, and I